coronavirus and this storm is going to really, like, hit us.
We got rained off the beach today, but this is the first time this month.
I'm hoping it blows over, but if it doesn't, we're just going to kind of hunker down because we're here for the next week.
This week, Tropical Storm Arthur kicked off 2020's hurricane season, well before the projected start date of June 1st. The storm made its way up the southeastern coastline of the U.S., and though it was short-lived, it dumped heavy rain on parts of North Carolina. Arthur is the first of many possible storms to come as hurricane season gets underway. And as the U.S. still struggles to get the coronavirus pandemic under control, experts worry about the impact on disaster preparedness in the coming months. And it's not just hurricanes and tropical storms on their minds. On the West Coast, wildfire season has been devastating over the last few years, and it could be even worse this year, with warnings of an earlier start to the season in parts of California. We're going to talk about it. I'm Matt Katz, in for Tanzina Vega. This is The Takeaway. We're joined by Jacob Margolis, science reporter at KPCC in Los Angeles, covering disasters there, and Samantha Montano, an assistant professor of the Massachusetts Maritime Academy and a self-described disasterologist. Samantha says there are a few ways the pandemic is complicating our preparedness for natural disasters like hurricanes and wildfires.
It's affecting everything about how we prepare for other disasters that happen during this pandemic. So it affects everything that we do to prepare for disasters that requires people to be in close proximity to one another. The economic consequences of this pandemic presumably have an effect on individuals' ability to buy supplies for hurricane season, to kind of pay for all of those things that fall under this preparedness category. Similar situation in terms of local and state governments being able to afford those preparedness efforts.
For other disasters. And those could be, what kind of other disasters might they be looking for funds to prepare for?
Sure. So hurricane season is coming up. We already have Arthur out in the Atlantic Ocean right now, but the official start date is June 1st. So that is definitely a type of hazard that's on everyone's mind. But this also includes wildfires, earthquakes, river flooding, terrorist attack, any kind of natural or man-made hazard that could come up in the next few months.
Of those, are there any disasters that are more challenging than others to prepare for right now?
One thing that matters here is scale. So for kind of large scale emergencies or smaller disasters that are handled much more locally, you know, there's all the same challenges of figuring out how you're going to respond while social distancing. But I do think that larger scale disasters, something like a Hurricane Harvey or a Hurricane Maria, do pose kind of a particular challenge because they affect such a large area and require so many different organizations and communities to come together to work with one another. I think there's just kind of some added challenges there.
Now, Jacob, you cover disasters like wildfires and earthquakes, given that you're based in California. How are state and local governments out there preparing for those potential disasters while we're in the middle of this pandemic?
They're two majorly different things, obviously. For wildfires, Governor Newsom just proposed a revised budget for this next year. And it looks like Cal Fire, the state firefighting agency, is going to get a ton of money. They're ramping up the number of people that they have. They're getting 26 new Wildland firefighting trucks, which are these big metal boxes that trundle along through these huge walls of flames. Basically, they're pretty amazing. And they're also getting 12 Black Hawk helicopters. They're going to basically pick up over the next few months, and those to let them fly at night, fly faster, carry more water and such. So clearly fighting wildfires is a priority, and they're investing a lot of money in doing that, both at the state level and on a local level. When it comes to earthquakes, I did a piece a couple of months ago about what would happen if a big one hit right now. And the answer is complicated. The assumption is that we're actually probably in a better place in terms of shelter in place, which is the best thing to do for earthquakes. It's also good that most people are at home because single-family homes, which are prevalent in Southern California in particular, tend to do better in big earthquakes than, say, office buildings that people may be stuck in. So there's a lot of different factors that go into considering kind of the fallout from these multiple disasters. But like Samantha talked about, also just everyone being overwhelmed by the pandemic sort of adds a level of concern that could obviously stress those available resources, even though we're investing money in them.
And is it expected to be a bad wildfire season in California this year?
Yeah, so right now, because of late season rains in March and April, and now it's raining a little bit in May, our wildfire risk in Southern California is actually fairly low right now. Up in Northern California, they missed out on a lot of the same precipitation that we got down here, so the wildfire risk is a lot higher up there. They have a lot more forests up there. Really, over the next few months, we'll be able to tell how things are going to shake out. It depends on how hot and how relentless summer is and how soon those Santa Ana winds come along, because stuff really tends to dry out by the fall. And then Santa Ana winds, the devil winds, you know, that we get hit with, that we talk about every single year over here on the West Coast, they hit us. And those are really what push those major, major, major fires along, because when they're there, you cannot stop those fires.
Samantha, I wanted to talk about what's happening at the federal level. What's the role of the emergency management agency that we're most familiar with, FEMA, right now? What is its responsibility during this pandemic? And how does that affect the other work that FEMA does?
So about mid-March, the Trump administration announced that FEMA would be taking on the coordinating role for the federal agencies that are involved in the response. That's as opposed to HHS or the White House Task Force or Jared Kushner's Task Force. So FEMA has been pretty central to the coordination of the response. A lot of the work that they've been doing has focused on PPE and getting that equipment out across the country. So, you know, that has taken up a lot of their resources. They have said repeatedly that they are still having staff work on, you know, making changes to their plans for hurricane season and still, you know, have staff paying attention to these other hazards across the country.
Is there any parallel to this moment, Samantha? Have we ever had to contend with multiple disasters at once before, like what we might expect if this pandemic continues for some time?
Kind of. So we've definitely had disasters happen at the same time across the country or in close proximity to one another across the country. A kind of obvious recent example is the 2017 hurricane season, where we had Harvey, Irma, and Maria all right after each other, kind of around the same time as wildfires in California. There, you know, is precedent in that sense. There is not precedent, though, for every single emergency management agency at all levels of government across the country being activated at the same time, which is essentially what has happened in the past couple of months as those agencies try to respond to the pandemic.
So what are the concerns about what would happen if there is another emergency, another disaster, and all of these agencies that are already, you know, expending their resources have to contend with another disaster?
Yeah, so I think there is a pretty big concern here about capacity. Like you said, these agencies have already been working nonstop since the pandemic began in various ways to help respond to the pandemic. To add another disaster on top of that is, you know, clearly a really big challenge, especially when you keep in mind, you know, a place like New York City has a huge emergency management agency with hundreds of employees, a big budget, compared to most emergency management agencies across the country, which, you know, especially in rural areas, may just have a part-time emergency manager. So kind of the capacity of these various agencies is going to look very different across the country. And you could see where a smaller emergency management agency could be pretty easily overwhelmed. The other issue here is not just the capacity at the local level, but also looking at the capacity across the country. Our approach to responding to events very much relies on help coming in from surrounding communities, from surrounding states. And to the extent that those surrounding communities are dealing with the pandemic themselves or have concerns about how to come and help safely, that kind of convergence of help that usually shows up after a disaster may be delayed or look different than it usually does because of the pandemic.
On a local level over here, the potential fallout from a major earthquake is very well documented. It's been studied by USGS scientists as well as others. And the concern that I heard when I talked to some folks about what if a big one hit right now was our immediate response might be okay. People might know what to do. We'll eventually be able to put out all the fires. We'll eventually be able to provide shelter to people. We're sure that, you know, the Red Cross will likely be able to come in or other agencies will come in. But then the question becomes one of long-term recovery. If you're already trying to deal and with a pandemic, what does it mean when, say, Riverside County needs a ton of new sewer lines that they need to import from China? They might not have that metal on hand already, whereas LA does. And there are going to be these long-term things that are going to be complicated also by supply chains that are having some issues.
Samantha, what are you hearing from emergency managers about that, about the long-term recovery part of this crisis and then coupled with potentially other crises?
Recovery from a large-scale event on our best day is really, really complicated. And we actually already have a pretty good sense of what recovery is going to look like from any event that comes up in the next couple of months, because we already have ongoing recoveries across the country from previous disasters. So there was some good reporting done by Adam Wagner in North Carolina about how Hurricane Florence's recovery has come to, in some ways, a standstill as folks have needed to shelter at home. The nonprofit sector is a huge support during recovery. And many of those national disaster nonprofits that work in recovery have had to pause their operations because of the pandemic. So there's some really significant challenges as we get into recovery. There's a lot of room for concern.
There were also some pretty deadly tornadoes in recent months, too. And I imagine the recovery for those is ongoing.
The tornadoes that have happened in the past couple months have damaged hundreds of homes across the country. Usually after an event like a tornado, we see this convergence of volunteers. We call them spontaneous volunteers, in addition to those, you know, more disaster-specific nonprofits that come into communities. And from the reporting that I've seen related to those tornadoes, there have been people who have come to help and to come volunteer, but the work that they've done has had to be done while integrating physical distancing. And I have the sense that they haven't really quite been able to get as much done as they would have been able to do if there was not a pandemic.
Samantha Montano is an assistant professor at the Massachusetts Maritime Academy, and Jacob Margolis is a science reporter at KPCC. Thanks to you both for the great conversation.
Thanks for having me.
Thank you.
Support for The Takeaway comes from Hint Water, makers of fruit-infused water with no sweeteners or calories. Hint's 25 flavors include blackberry, lemon, and new clementine water. In stores or at drinkhint.com. Hint, water with a touch of true fruit flavor.